It is January. It's not January. January, get it behind my time, myself there. February the 6th, the trade deadline has come and gone without too much fanfare. We have to be honest there. Today, anyway, there were obviously some big moves earlier in the week. But let's go through it team by team. Let's have a look at the new rotations, the new rosters, or what I think they might be. We obviously don't know for sure. We'll have a look at winners, losers. What the hell are Portland doing? What are Brooklyn doing? What are Washington doing? A few questions. Let's get into it all. This is the trade deadline recap show. Let's call it that. Let's go, balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume fantasy basketball content. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. I don't have to tell you to go and pre-like the trade deadline show anymore because it is done, but you could go and check it out. It's long, five and a half hours it went for. Obviously we didn't have as much to talk about today as we might have liked, but we had a few trades. We talked about the previous trades, lots of familiar faces on the show, so it was fun. A lot of people watching along live too, which was great. A ton of questions. So if you have a spare 5 hours, go back and watch that. I'm sure Dan will do a summary show as well, as will I. We will start with, at the top, we'll start with Atlanta. I do see that we have questions in there. Do you want to do those first? Let's do some questions. Let's do some questions, then we'll get into the team. Hello, Steve. The stick stash did not work. I was a little bit cautious about him given the Bulls' track record, and they didn't let me down. The Bulls striving for that 9 seed yet again. So, no, the stick stash didn't work. We can move on at this point. It's not to say that we won't reach a portion of the season where they do lean into him a little bit more and maybe ease off of Vooch. But again, given it's Chicago, I'm not sure we will see that. You have one ad left. Nothing in particular, just looking for upside. We're going to get a lot of questions about these same names. Nurk, Maddus, Buzelis, or Dalton Connect. Who would I rather there? Look, you could make a case for all of them. I think Buzelis is probably the safest. We assume Connect is going to start and play 32 minutes. We don't know that. We assume Nurk is going to start and probably play 30 minutes. We don't know that. We do know that Buzelis is probably going to play 30 minutes moving forward because that's what he's been doing. So he's probably safest. Nurk, I mean, we know what Nurk is. He's a good rebounder, can get some out-of-position assists, not a great shot blocker, not overly efficient for a big man. So he has his pros, he has his cons. Dalton Connect is really just points and threes, nothing else. Buzelis, some points, some rebounds. He's a good shot blocker, he hits threes. So I think I'd probably go Buzelis just. Nerdy Nerd asks, are we keeping Misic? No, I don't think we need to keep Misic. LCPO. Now, I saw this question. So Marcus Smart is projected for 30 minutes for Washington. That's Kyle's projection. Josh's projection has him at 23. So they don't always agree on their projections. Do I see him playing 30 minutes? Personally, I don't. But he could. I'm not sure what Washington are going to do. They now have Smart and Middleton. So are they? I mean, I think they're so bad that it's not going to matter if they play these guys. So there is a chance that they do just run Washington. They do run Smart, Middleton out there as starters. Absolutely, it could happen. I don't think it makes sense, but a lot of what Washington does doesn't make sense. So if you want to take a flyer on him, you could. I'm not convinced it happens, but stranger things have happened. Are we dropping Jalen Smith for Goga or Nurkic? Yes, I would do that. I'd have Goga over Nurk. Thank you, Shining Knight. Yes, I know you're always in here as two. I wonder if Chad's in here today. Not sure. We'll see. All right. Buzelis was dropped for Diabate in a pre-Nurk trade. Would I say he's one of the best winners of this deadline? You have Jovic, Bilal, Saar. Would I drop any of them for Buzelis? I wouldn't drop Bilal. Probably not Saar. I would consider dropping Jovic for Buzelis, yes. Shining Knight has Goga. Nurk is available. Yeah, I don't think the upside there is there for Nurk. I mean, last season, I would say it was a pretty good year for Nurk, but he was outside the top 100, and that was sort of best case scenario. So yeah, I still don't see him as sort of this huge breakout top 100, top 80 player or anything like that. He'll get you a double-double. He'll get you a steal and a block. That's about it. I would much rather Goga. We had a question on the show, I think, with Dan. Would I rather Nick Richards or Yusuf Nurkic? I dropped Richards to add Nurkic. Again, I think that was more because I just wanted to get Nurkic on our team. But I don't see him as a breakout or anything like that. Kelly versus DK. Are we talking Dalton Connect? If so, I would go Dalton Connect. I don't even know if Kelly Olynyk's going to play in New Orleans. What's the upside on Ayo Dosunmu and Bilal when compared to Vassell, Beal, and the like? I mean, everyone seems to be talking up Ayo Dosunmu. And yes, look, I think he is a winner here. But we've seen him playing 32, 34 minutes a night for a lot of the season. And he's like a top 100 guy, top 80 maybe. Beal is probably in a similar range. Vassell, probably the same sort of range as well. Once you get down into this this sort of range, it really comes down to stats, I think, because as we know, a top 90 player is not that much better than a top 120 player. So I think they're all pretty comparable. Do you need sort of more defensive stuff? Dosunmu, he's not a too bad a rebounder for a guard. Bilal would have the most upside there defensively. So if you're looking at more defense, I'd go him. I still like Vassell out of all four. Just thinking long term, I'm potentially stupidly high on Vassell, but I still like him. But I think they're all comparable. Like, I don't think if you dropped Vassell to pick up Io, it's not going to be a huge dent come the end of the season or anything like that. C Park, would I drop? Who would I drop in an 8-team? Oh, so a shallow league, punting free throws. Where Io Buzelis? Who would I drop? Not where, I don't think. I still think that where could be top 50-ish, top 60. And it'd be one of Io or Buzelis. Maybe Buzelis. Again, top 90, top 100 in an 8-team league. You're going to be able to stream value. I think of the three of those, Ware is the only one that could push inside the top 50, so I wouldn't be dropping him. Nerdy Nerd asks, is Nurkic a good pickup? He's a pickup. I won't say he's a good pickup, but he's a pickup. What happens to Nick Smith? Not much, I don't think. He should just continue to start. I don't really see his role changing. I think that, well, at least until LaMelo is back. Once he's back, I would just run with Nick Smith, LaMelo Ball, and Dalton Connect as your backcourt, but they may not do that. So we have to wait and see. But for now, you just hold him because LaMelo is still out. All right, there's quite a lot in there. All right, I'm going to jump into the teams now just so I don't, because I am going to do a pregame show after this one and I want to try and squeeze in 10 minutes to have something to eat. So let's get into the teams and have a look at rotations and that sort of thing. Some won't warrant any discussion at all. Let's start with the Atlanta Hawks. So they moved DeAndre Hunter out. They moved Bogdan Bogdanovic out. Hopefully I remember all of these trades just from looking at the rosters. Caris LeVert comes in. George Niang comes in. Bones Highland, Terrence Mann. Hopefully Josh has gone and uploaded or updated all of these so they're all current. So what are we looking at in terms of shifts in value? I think Richey gets a small bump just in terms of opportunity. I'm not saying he is someone we need to prioritize, but he should, with no Hunter there, they were playing a very similar role. LeVert, at the moment, I would say he may slide in to the small forward position, but I also think he could come off the bench and play as a secondary ball handler playmaker because they don't really have anyone on the bench there that I would class as a point guard. Terrence Mann also comes in. Where does he fit? So there's a little bit of a log jam here, I think, with Terrence Mann, Caris LeVert, probably maybe George Niang, but Vic Krejci's still there. So am I adding anyone here? Look, you could take a flyer on LeVert. He probably is the safest of all of those guys. Beyond that, I don't think I'm doing too much. For Brooklyn, who just basically did nothing, which is bad for fantasy, what happens now? We know the last 3 weeks I've basically been avoiding Brooklyn because they're so hard to project and nothing changes. If you had picked up De'Ron Sharp, I talked about him as one of my favorite stash guys. This obviously doesn't help him because Nick Claxton is still there. But I am still going to hold De'Ron Sharp in as many spots as I can, which I think is a two leagues, maybe three. He's doing just enough, I think, to maintain very back-end value. And then, as we know, that opportunity, should it come for him to start, would unlock him. So I don't mind holding him. Keon Johnson has been relatively consistent. Cam Johnson returned yesterday, wasn't traded. So both he and Cam Thomas, I'm assuming, will just play as they were at the start of the season. And look, on the surface, I mean, maybe the Nets just realized, hey, we're so bad that it doesn't matter if we play Cam Johnson, Cam Thomas, Nick Claxton, Ben Simmons, we're still going to lose. So it's not like they had to get worse. This makes D'Angelo Russell pretty tough to hold, I think, moving forward. You could, but he's been very bad. And I talked about the fact that he probably isn't enjoying his time necessarily in Brooklyn. So, yeah, sadly, not a lot changes for Brooklyn, which is not what I expected to be saying today. Boston, don't need to talk about Boston. Charlotte, Dalton Connect is the obvious one here, the potential winner if he starts and plays 30 plus minutes, he will have value. It will be somewhat sporadic. He is points and threes only, which we've talked about. Nick Smith, I would hold him even if he comes off the bench. I think they've just invested enough into him now that they need to play him minutes. Nurkic, again, winner, probably an ad. Josh Green has been playing pretty well of late, especially on the defensive end. That's why I think they continue to start him. He's more of a specialist, though. And with no Micic there anymore, KJ Simpson, maybe he gets a few more minutes. Deeper leagues only, though, I would say. And Diabate, who was a very popular ad yesterday, probably goes back to, 25-minute role, which if you need rebounds, fine. Maybe they do split the center minutes, I don't know. But Nurkic coming in certainly puts a big dent in his projected value. All right, for the Bulls, another team that we were hoping would make moves and they didn't, so not a lot to talk about that we haven't already talked about because we've seen this rotation for the last 2 weeks. Make sure Bouzelis is rostered. Jalen Smith's stash value disappears, maybe not completely, but generally it does. The Bulls just don't seem to want to shut these guys down. So let's work under the assumption that Vooch plays 30-plus minutes moving forward and Jalen Smith plays 15 to 18 minutes off the bench. It could change. I hope it changes. I'm not sure it does change. Cleveland, they lost Caris LeVert, George Niang. They bring in DeAndre Hunter. Now, I don't know whether he starts. I think Max Strus has been starting. I wouldn't be surprised if they can if they bring Hunter off the bench as a sixth man. I think that's a good role for him here. Value, look, he takes a bit of a hit only because he's coming to a team that are pretty stacked in terms of that top four anyway. So I think his value probably takes a bit of a hit. I think he could be a hold, though, because he will still play starter-level minutes and will, I guess, theoretically just do what he's been doing all season, and that is scoring the ball quite well. So I think Hunter is probably a hold. Strus gets a small bump here because he doesn't have LeVert coming for his minutes and George Niang. So Strus is probably just locked into a slightly more sizable role. And I guess it maybe helps Ty Jerome a little bit as well because Caris LeVert was playing some of those backup guard minutes where DeAndre Hunter is not going to do that. So not an ad or anything in terms of Jerome, but just I think helps his overall role and value. Deeper leagues maybe. Okay. And I will keep checking Twitter. I mean, I'm assuming, well, hang on, Shams, what's he saying? Oh, nothing. Okay, he's just talking about all the trades. All right. Dallas, they made their moves early in the week. Nothing really came today. Max Christie played a lot of minutes in his first game. They play again today, so let's see what that looks like. PJ Washington is still out, though, so we're not going to get an accurate reflection yet, and obviously Anthony Davis out as well. So if you added or holding Max Christie, I would continue to do so. Likewise for Spencer Dinwiddie at the moment, that will probably change. I think he will be a drop. I think Naji Marshall will be a drop. For the Nuggets, as per usual, they did nothing, so we don't need to talk about their value relating to the trade deadline. It didn't change. Detroit, not a lot here. Dennis Schroeder is an intriguing piece for them. I think he actually could play here, not enough to have value, but he does give them a somewhat proven backup point guard, which they haven't really got at the moment. So I think he will come in and play 20 plus minutes, but I don't really see his value impacting anyone other than maybe Tim Hardaway, maybe Malik Beasley, because they now have an alternative guard option. I would still hold Beasley, Hardaway. Let's look at him as a streamer and nothing more. For the Warriors, Jimmy Butler came in yesterday, so we talked about them. They're very shallow now. They still don't really have a center. If they are going down this path of we want to compete, which we assume they are with the acquisition of Jimmy Butler and trying to give Steph Curry another shot at a title, this is not the roster to do it. So I would assume they are on the hunt for a buyout, a center who is a buyout candidate, because Quinton Post, Kevon Looney, Trayce Jackson-Davis, they're just not the answer that they're looking for at the moment. Draymond, yes, he can play center, but Draymond is not a great player anymore. I hinted at that when they released an image of the big new big three in Golden State. I'm not sure I'd consider Draymond big anymore. But with all of the pieces now moving out, Podziemski, I think we have to add him. Buddy Hield, if you want to add him, I think you could. He is very, very limited to what he brings. I would rather Podziemski. Honestly, I'd rather them play Moses Moody, but I just don't think that's going to happen. So, yeah, I think Hield and Podziemski are our two winners, I suppose, if we want to class them as that. Houston, another team that didn't really do much, which is not surprising because they are playing very well and they have a very good young core, so we don't really need to talk about them. The Pacers, likewise, did absolutely nothing, so we don't need to talk about them. I do like these teams that didn't make trades. For the Clippers, really only one move. Bogdan Bogdanovic comes in. Kevin Porter goes out, as does Terrence Mann. Is there anyone else? No, that might be it. Like I said, I think I'll probably miss a couple of names. So Bogdanovic will come in and could start. I don't think he will. I think he is, again, another, much like DeAndre Hunter, I think he is much better as a sixth man. Kawhi will start. There will be games where Bogdanovic might start because Kawhi is out, although they may prefer to keep Bogdanovic coming off the bench and bring in Amir Coffey or Chris Dunn or something like that. Who does this impact? No one, really. Bogdanovic, if he was dropped, you could pick him up. He probably plays 25 minutes. He's been pretty bad this year, but he was good last year. So I don't mind taking a bit of a flyer on him. I view him as a winner just because I think getting out of Atlanta is probably not a bad thing. Not a winner to the point where we have to rush and add him, but just a winner because I think he will, a fresh start, let's say, a change is as good as a holiday or whatever that saying is. That could be the case here for Bogdanovic. For the Lakers, again, no real trades today. They made their splash in the days leading up to trade deadline. Jackson Hayes is a loser because Mark Williams comes in. You can still hold Hayes for tonight because Williams won't play. Luka Doncic also out. So, yeah, guys like Finney Smith, Gabe Vincent, they have a very, very small window here. But when Luka is back, which could be in the next game or two, they will be drops. Rui Hachimura, yeah, still undecided. I think he's going to have to play, but probably not someone that will be putting up a ton of value for us. We know who Rui is at this point. All right, Memphis. Look, they made some moves. Smart goes out. Laravia goes out. It doesn't really do much, though, to be honest, because they still have, if we're rattling off the names that are borderline, they still have Jalen Wells, they still have Luke Kennard, Vince Williams, Santi Aldama, G.G. Jackson, Brandon Clark, Scottie Pippen, Jay Huff, John Conchar. You could even throw Cam Spencer in there, but yeah. So there's no real winners here in Memphis for me. I guess it clears things a little bit for Scottie Pippen. And Luke Kennard, they're not necessarily competing with Marcus Smart now for those backup point guard minutes. But in saying that, Smart hasn't been there for however long, 6 weeks. So we know what it looks like. For Miami, Andrew Wiggins comes in. There's obviously a bit of an impact here because Jimmy Butler has not been playing. So I think Wiggins, obviously we're rostering Wiggins. He could have an impact on Khalil where just the minutes may come off or come down slightly. Jovic, I'm still holding him. Hakez, Rozier, I don't think we need to be holding him. Feels like I've got a cobweb on my feet. I don't know what's going on there. All right, the Bucks. Kuzma, the obvious one. Middleton goes out. Kuzma comes in. They do pick up Jericho Sims as well. Delon Wright is off to New York. Did he go to New York? Oh, maybe he did. Oh, anyway. Kuzma. Look, I count him as a winner here only because, again, I think he will play. He's in a much better organization now than the Wizards. So not a winner necessarily in terms of per game upside value, what he can do, but just the fact that you could roster him now with the confidence in knowing that he will play good minutes. There isn't really anyone on this bench that would be coming for his minutes. Depth is not a strength of the Bucks. So, yeah, I think Kuzma, you just roster him with a little more confidence. I don't really see him impacting anyone. Dame is fine. Giannis is fine. He's not going to impact Lopez, who hasn't been good anyway. For the Timberwolves, no moves, nothing to talk about. We like that. For the New Orleans Pelicans, now they obviously did make some moves here. Bruce Brown comes in. Kelly Olynyk comes in. Brandon Ingram goes out. Now, again, Ingram hadn't been playing, so we know what the rotation looks like. Bruce Brown and Olynyk, this is a tricky one, one of the more tricky ones, because we don't know if they're going to play. We don't know if they're going to keep them around. Are they going to move them? Are they going to buy them out? They didn't trade them, so they can't do that. But because they both could have value here on this team. If Pelicans just go, stuff this, we suck, we know we suck, we are just shutting it down. Zion might only play half the games. They might just run Bruce Brown out there and run Kelly Olynyk out there as a backup center. Karlo Matkovic is more of a center, though. I don't think he's coming for Mises minutes. A lot of question marks here. Who am I adding? What am I doing? CJ, Trey, Misi, Zion, all holds. Probably Alvarado. There's a question mark now with him, especially if they do play Bruce Brown. Where does Alvarado fit? I would hold him for now. If Bruce Brown is available, if Kelly Olynyk is available, and you just have an empty roster spot that you could throw one of them into, give them two games and see what their role is. Are they playing 26 minutes? Probably a hold. Are they playing 12 minutes? Probably a drop. So, yeah, a little bit of uncertainty there in New Orleans. For the Knicks, nothing changes. Obviously, there were some moves here, but nothing. As long as the starting five are healthy, there's no value there. For the Thunder, look, no moves of significance. Chet Holmgren, this is not related to the trade deadline, obviously, but Chet Holmgren was randomly removed from the injury report this morning. So he is, I'm assuming, coming back. Does he start straight away? I'm not sure. They might bring him off the bench for a couple of games. Hartenstein takes a hit here. I think he's still a pretty safe top 70, top 60 player. But that upside to push inside the top 40 is probably gone now. But, yeah, that's not deadline related, so I don't really need to talk too much about it. For the Magic, also very little in the way of moves. We'll talk about their rotation when I do the pregame show later on. For Philly, Grimes is an interesting one because, to me, he is a pretty clear sixth man candidate here. He's much better than Gordon, Lowry, Council, Reggie Jackson, those guys. Grimes could come in here and play 28, 30, 32 minutes, Paul George is not a picture of health. We know about Embiid. So I wouldn't actually mind taking a bit of flyer on Grimes. Maybe you could consider him a winner. The risk or the element of doubt here is the fact that he was playing meaningful minutes in Dallas and didn't really make the most of it. So I'm not certain he's going to be productive enough to be a 12-team guy, but he will potentially get the opportunity. Phoenix, nothing really to talk about here. No trades. Kevin Durant was targeted by teams, but they didn't move him. The Suns are obviously in this. They want to win. They want to win now. So Micic coming in, to me, doesn't really move the needle or anything like that. It gives them another backup point guard. But, I mean, even when he was playing 30 minutes plus in Charlotte, Micic was borderline at best. So coming off the bench, look, if Tyus Jones got injured, I guess. But in saying that, they'd probably just move Beal in as the point guard if that happened. Portland, one of the teams I probably thought I'd be talking a lot about here, we are not going to talk about because they didn't make any moves. Now, what this means for Portland, I don't know. They're obviously playing very well at the moment. We had hoped, or I had hoped, that Jeremy Grant would be moved, Anthony Simons potentially would be moved, DeAndre Ayton would be moved, or Robert Williams. None of them were moved. They're just going to run it back, apparently. So this hurts Scoot a little bit. Not to the point where he's a drop. I think he is still a pretty firm hold. But he's not starting based on what we've seen. So that ceiling is probably just lowered a little bit. Same goes for Shaedon Sharpe. Klingon is now a really, really hard player to stash. I think common sense would say, yes, we get to a point where Klingon is starting and playing 26 minutes. But with Robert Williams there still and DeAndre Ayton and they're playing well, that stash could come much later than we had hoped for. So, yeah, not a lot to talk about in Portland. And for Sacramento, again, early moves. Zach LaVine comes in. I'm worried about Keegan Murray. I think he is a little bit of a loser here fantasy-wise, because he is potentially the fifth option on offense, if not fourth at best. Keon Ellis, also a bit of a loser, not in the sense that his value changes, but his value just doesn't increase. We had stashed him. We were hoping for 28, 30 minutes. I think he's going to be low 20s. Valanciunas, again, a winner without being a winner. He will play consistent minutes, we would assume. He will come off the bench behind Sabonis. He will play 18 minutes a night. Washington was very up and down. So he's not someone I think we need to be adding, but his value should be fairly consistent and predictable at least. So if he fills a need for you in a specific punt build, you just need a guy that can get you close to double-digit rebounds and double-digit points, then sure. But, yeah, unless Sabonis gets injured, there's just not enough here. The Spurs. Man, there's a lot of questions. For the Spurs, yeah, again, early moves. De'Aaron Fox, we've already seen exactly what this rotation looks like. So winners, losers. Steph Castle, based on what we saw yesterday, is a pretty clear loser. He moved to the bench and played 20 minutes. Chris Paul, we thought he might be a loser, but he started alongside De'Aaron Fox and looked okay, so I think he's a hold. Vassell, it was only a one-game sample size, but he looked good. I have spoken about the fact that I think his value, despite the fact that his opportunities might come down slightly, his overall value could hold or go up because of the efficiency. Sohan was better yesterday, still coming off the bench, but I hope they move him into the starting lineup, but I get why they might not, just because of his lack of floor spacing potential. Harrison Barnes gives them that, despite the fact he doesn't give them much else. But, yeah, it's probably Castle is the guy here that's the pretty obvious loser. Now, for the Raptors, they offloaded some pieces. They didn't bring a lot back in other than Brandon Ingram. but he's currently out. I would say he will make his debut imminently. RJ Barrett also out. Jakob Poeltl out. They're an interesting case study, I think, the Raptors, because they have a pretty intriguing young core here. Quickly, Barrett, Ingram, Barnes, Grady Dick is there. I don't mind Jamal Shedd. So there's, I'm not going to say upside, but there's some intriguing pieces there. Jakob Poeltl, I'm not sure where he fits in there. He is not significantly older, but older. He's out at the moment. They also offloaded, as we know, Kelly Olynyk. Does Chris Boucher start at centre? He's not a centre. He's also 32. So I would like to see Orlando Robinson come in here as the centre with Poeltl out, because he does fit their timeline, and I do think he has a little bit of upside. But I don't know if Toronto are going to do that. Winners, losers, Grady Dick, Ochai Agbaji, Jacoby Walter, they're all losers with Brandon Ingram coming in. Of all of those guys, I think Grady Dick probably has the safest floor, only because he's the youngest. Well, actually, he's not. Jacoby Walter's younger. Maybe it's him. Anyway, we're not rostering any of those guys at this point anyway, at least not once Ingram and Barrett return. Utah, much like Portland, much like Brooklyn, sadly, there is nothing to talk about here. We were hoping that Sexton would be gone. We were hoping that Clarkson would be gone. That we would be getting Filipowski, Bryce Sensabaugh into 28 minutes a night, but it may still happen. I just don't know when it's going to happen now. So I guess we just hold Collier, Sexton, Markkanen, Collins, Kessler, George, Clarkson. All are probably worth rostering. For Washington, Middleton, and this, they're sort of the other way around. They've got Marcus Smart. They've got Chris Middleton coming in, who are two proven, well, is Smart proven? I guess he's proven. Proven veterans. Are they going to roll them out there and try and utilize what they have learned during their years in the NBA to help players like Bob Carrington, Keyshawn George, Bilal Coulibaly? Or are they just going to let them do that as locker room presences, much like Malcolm Brogdon is, playing minutes in the low 20s and nothing more? I'm not sure. I would assume that they might go that route and just play them limited minutes. Middleton, I just don't think he can play sizable minutes, so their hand is almost forced there. I think he plays minutes in the mid-20s. Probably won't play back-to-backs given the ankle history here. Marcus Smart is also, I guess, a chance to not play back-to-backs. He's had a lot of injuries to deal with. So there's a few question marks, I think, here and in New Orleans. I think they're the two teams that we're waiting on to get a look at what they do with these additional pieces and where they fit into the rotation. And that's all the teams. Let's look at questions. There's a lot. I'll try and get through all of them, but we'll see how we go. All right. Matt Carmody. Would I rather have Kinect or Matkovic? A little bit. It's the cop-out answer, but what do you need? Points and threes or some defensive stats? Kinect is probably a little bit safer, slightly, because Charlotte actually went out and targeted him and got him. So I think that would tell me that they want to play him big minutes here. Yeah, probably Kinect slightly. How would I order these group of guys in a nine cat? Kamara, Scoot, Io, Goga, IQ. Well, they're all, Scoot, rank-wise, Scoot is going to be the lowest here because he has some pretty glaring holes in his game, but I have him in this, definitely have him in this bunch. I'd probably have Quickly or Goga would be first. I think probably Goga slightly. Then Quickly. Goga, Quickly. I'd probably have Io last. They're all inside the top 100 in my eyes. I'd probably do it as tiers rather than ranking them specifically. So I'd have Goga and IQ, and then in the next tier, I'd have all three of them. I think Scoot's probably got the highest upside of the three. Kamara is rock solid, safe. Io, a little bit the same. He's just very safe. His floor and his ceiling are pretty close together, where I think Scoot's floor and ceiling are further apart, which could be viewed as a negative or a positive. Dave asks, Isaiah Collier and Diabate, are they both must adds? Collier, yes. Diabate, no. Well, probably not. Jason Johns, how do I rank these guys? Draymond, Collier, Scoot, Sharp, Hunter. I'm pretty low on Draymond. I'd probably go, again, if we're looking purely for upside, I'd probably have Scoot and Collier at the top. Hunter's just going to be Hunter. He's points and threes only. Nothing changes. Sharp, pretty similar. I'd probably have Collier and Scoot at the top of my list, and then I'd have Sharp, Hunter, and I have Draymond last, but you could make an argument that he's first if you need everything or anything but scoring, because he doesn't score, he doesn't hit threes, efficiency's not a strength. Honestly, he's not a great defender anymore, so he's rebounds, assists, and some defensive stats, that's it. Bilal or a Kongwu rest of season? That would be a Kongwu for me in that situation. Chad went to sleep. He might have. It's been a big day. Someone dropped Nick Richards, worth picking up. Depends who you're dropping. You could. But I wouldn't drop anyone substantial for him. I think Richards has shown us over the last week that he is top 120, maybe. Thank you, Jay Sizzle. Yes, I didn't do the full marathon, to be fair, with Dan. He did 5.5 hours. I only did three or something. So, yes, it's. I've got appointments today too, so I'm sort of slotting in shows between appointments and housework and things like that, but we'll get there. For a 10-team nine catch, should I drop Zaire Williams for Bub? Oh, look, you could. I don't think either are must roster players, but we've probably seen enough of Zaire Williams to know who he is. Bub, still a little bit of an untapped resource. So, yeah, I'd be okay with that. Drop Achua for Matkovic. Yeah, look, I think you could do that. Achua has been pretty good lately, but as soon as OG is back, he goes back to being nothing. So Matkovic, if we're looking rest of season, is certainly a much better option than Achua. Victor Vasquez, rank these guys. Kamara, Eason, Nurk, Buzelis, Kaminga, Saar. Processing a lot of numbers in my head at the moment. Who would I have? I would have. I might go Eason first. Probably Eason, Buzelis, Kamara, I've probably got in the same range. Kaminga might be in that range as well now that the Warriors have offloaded a lot of players. Saar is probably in there, and then Nurk is just behind them. And again, stats, what do you need? Big man stats, guard stats, that always makes a difference. Do I think Norm Powell takes a hit with Bogdan? Oh, that's a good question. No, I don't think so. Oh, look. I guess you could say maybe he loses a minute, but they lost Terrence Mann. They lost Kevin Porter. So, yeah, no, I don't think so. Would I pick up Matkovic over Buzelis? I don't think I would, no. I don't know. It's close. I think Matkovic could be top 100, but his value is going to come from... Yeah, it sort of comes from, I don't know. You could. I probably wouldn't. I think you could, but no. Where's Chad there? Okay. Okay, Brian B. 12-team nine cat. You have Chet coming back. Who do I drop? Pritchard, Aaron Gordon, Keontae Quickley. Not Keontae, not Quickley. It'd be Pritchard or Aaron Gordon. Pritchard's been pretty bad. Maybe Pritchard. I know Aaron Gordon hasn't been great either, but he plays starters minutes pretty consistently. Pritchard doesn't. So I'd be okay with dropping Pritchard there. Would I drop Reece Oshay for Matkovic? Now, that I might do. Yeah, I did say Reece Oshay is a small winner here, but he doesn't do much. I think Matkovic certainly has a lot more upside than Reece Oshay. Would I drop Kamara, Keon Ellis, or Jovic for Nurkic? Kamara, no. Jovic, probably not. Ellis maybe. Like I said, I don't think Ellis is going to play enough. He's very specialised. So yeah, I'd probably drop Ellis for Nurkic. Shining Knight thought this was the pregame show. It is not the pregame show. No, it is not. It is a special. You get to see even more of me. Oh, look, Chad, he's awake. That joke's going to stick forever now. Chad should appreciate that. What is he saying? I just can't understand the Grizzlies. I don't know. They made some questionable moves. I know they've got a ton of depth. I don't know. Yes, you are right. Yes, I got excited too. I woke up and Anthony Davis had made shoot around. He was questionable and then he was downgraded. And I don't know, maybe he has been ruled out. I'm assuming he won't play tonight. Would be nice, but I don't think he will. Victor asks again. Well, did I answer this one? No, maybe I did answer this one. Maybe he just popped it in there again. Kamara, Buzelis. Yeah, I think we did that one. Okay. Lots of chat, but I'm just trying to get to questions because I'm pretty hungry. Buzelis, good for a punt. Okay, here's something. Shining Knight. Wonder if Buzelis is good for a punt. Threes and free throw percentage. If he's better than the aforementioned Beal, Vassell, Goga, Sarr for such a build. He would be. If that is your if that's your build. Mac Attack, I do look tired AF. What time did I wake up? I woke up at 4 a.m. this morning. So it has been a long day already, but we'll get there. Maybe I'll squeeze in a sleep today. Probably not. Once the basketball starts, I'll be awake. So any chance slow-mo starts over where with Bam shifting to center? There's a chance, but I'd like to think no. Nathan, would I do an AD for Luka and John Collins trade now? I have too many bigs and I'm thinking that AD and Luka could provide similar fantasy value. Similar fantasy value in terms of, yes, they are both top 10 players, top 8 players, whatever. very different in terms of what stats they bring, but overall rank, yes. So if you're saying that you have too many bigs, I'm assuming you are moving AD. So would I move Anthony Davis to get Luka and John Collins? Is that the question here? If you just want to clarify that for me. If that is the question, if the question is would I move AD to get Luka and John Collins, yeah, I would. Like you said, I think AD and Luka are pretty comparable and they're both top whatever players and very different. So if you've got a glut of big men and you don't need rebounds and you don't need blocks, then bring in Luka, sure. Is Matkovic potentially a top 80 player this year? Top 80 center? Yes, he's definitely in the top 80 centers. But is he a top 80 player? Yeah, he could be. Again, this is they're one of the teams that I need to get a bit of a read on their rotations first. I think he has the upside to be a top 80 player. But we'll see what they do. Jared Butler to Philly. I did see that one. Yeah, I don't think it means much. It could at some point. Butler had some good moments earlier in the season. If Philly do shut it down at some point, then yes, he could be intriguing. But for right now, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to play him over Edwards or anything like that. Okay, I did that from Victor. He's asked it a few times, but we did that. Who would be some center buyout candidates? Yeah, look, I don't know, to be honest. Let me just have a look. All right, centers. Look, I mean, probably not Capella. We thought he might be moved, but I don't see them buying out his contract. Same with Nick Claxton. I don't see it. Maybe the Bulls buy out Zach Collins. He could be a buyout candidate. He would be an interesting because he's still, I mean, he's not young, but he's not old. He's 27. Anyone else? Look, I guess Paul Reed potentially, if the Pistons want to just run with Isaiah Stewart a little bit more as their backup center, which they have been doing. I mean, Steven Adams was sort of, his name was thrown around in trade rumors a little bit, but that was more of a specific situation. I think they need to keep Adams. He provides them with really good backup center option. Jock Landale, I suppose. Do the Blazers buy out a center? I don't know. Yeah, there's a few. No one sort of top of front of mind, though, I don't think. Harry, fair question. Why are we not talking about Kispert? Well, partly because I just don't think he's that good, but also, again, I'd said Washington, what are they going to do with Middleton? What are they going to do with Smart? We've seen periods of this season with Kuzma out already, and it didn't really benefit Kispert that much. He was interesting down the stretch last year. Maybe we get another run of him putting up top 100, top 120 value. But they still have Brogdon there, Carrington. They still have Champagne. So there's still a lot of sort of secondary pieces there. So I'm just not sure that certainly it could be the odd game here or there, but nothing sustainable, I don't think, at this point. Do we drop Sohan for Matkovic? Ooh, that's an interesting one. If you can afford to take a risk, yes, I would consider that. I still prefer Sohan. I just think he's a little more safer. But if you are top three, top four in your standings and you're looking pretty comfortable and you're just looking for a bit of an upside play in 2 weeks, then, yeah, maybe. Would Olynyk have value as backup to Misi? Well, yeah, again, the Pelicans. He could if they don't play Matkovic as the backup, which they didn't the other day. They started him at the small forward alongside Zion and Misi. But yes, I mean, if Olynyk plays, that's the first question, then maybe he'd need to play at least 24 minutes, I think. We've seen him playing 18 minutes for the Raptors and he hasn't really had enough value. So there is a chance, but I'm not counting on it. Nathan, clarifying that question from earlier, yes, moving AD to get Luka and potentially John Collins, but more so for AD for Luka straight up as you have seven centers. Yeah, look, I'd be fine with that. John Collins probably has power forward eligibility, so maybe that gives you a little bit of flexibility there. Taylor asks, have we already discussed the Utah guard situation? Look, we did a little bit. They obviously didn't make any moves. So at the moment, I would just assume they'll continue running with what they've been doing, which is Isaiah Collier and, well, Colin Sexton when he's healthy, but he isn't healthy at the moment. Isaiah Collier and Jordan Clarkson started the last game. I guess, long story short, I think Collier, Sexton, Keontae George and Jordan Clarkson are all must roster players. I'd probably have Collier and Keontae George as the top two, and then I'd have Sexton and Clarkson as the next two down. Would I drop Westbrook for Podziemski? Maybe. I mean, Westbrook's been really good, but yes, we don't know how long he is going to be out with this injury. I think I'd consider that. I'd be okay with that. There's still a Podziemski's role is not 100% certain yet, but yeah, I think I'm okay with that. Am I worried about Luka's health at all? Yeah, look, were the Mavs concerned and had him in that? Well, look, he's not in the Embiid discussion. No one really is in that discussion. So, no, I don't think they're worried to the point of Joel Embiid worried. Zion, maybe. I would think coming in for Luka, coming in, playing alongside and sharing a locker room and space with LeBron is going to do a lot for Luka. I just think in terms of probably his attitude towards looking after his body, like no one does it better than LeBron. So I think this is going to be a massive win for the Lakers long term. So no, I'm not too worried about it. Obviously it's a little bit concerning. He has had some injury concerns and the weight has been discussed, but yeah, I'm not too worried about it at this point. All right, let's get through these last few so I can go and grab some food. Alex, too many centers now that Chet is back. Mark Williams, Sar, Zoo, JJJ. Can I flip any of these in a fair deal for Cat or Sabonis? Prefer to keep Mark Williams. Okay, so Sar, Zoo, Triple J. Triple J is the obvious one. You could move there. Could you move him in a one-for-one? Maybe. If you can find someone that needs a center who has power forward eligibility, because he has both, and who is more of a, well, he's been very good both ends of the court, but more of a defensive-minded center. So, like, if someone has Sabonis, for example, and they need blocks, then they might. They would be the easiest ones. I think you could package them. If you've got too many centers, I think packaging Sar and Zoo to try and get one of those guys. I don't know if that'd be enough, but you could try. Yep. So I think it's certainly on the cards, yes. Nathan, continuing that discussion there, if you keep AD and don't trade for Luka, what do I think of you trading away Collier for Kamara straight up to punt assists and boost defensive stats? I think that's probably okay. I mean, look, Collier has been really good, but he's limited. His assists really only assists only. Points have been better. Steals aren't translating super well yet. Kamara has been, I mean, I'll pull up his numbers here. He's top 100 for the year. I know that. And he has to be better than that, doesn't he? Over the last month, he's been, seems to have grown a lot of confidence on, especially on the offensive end. Last month, he's the 77th ranked player, 42nd over the last 2 weeks. And if we look at his last month numbers, 12.5 points, 6 rebounds, 1.6 steals, 0.9 blocks, I think that's somewhat sustainable. Maybe the defense comes down slightly, but I'd be okay with that, I think. What do I think about Sabonis rest of season maintaining first round value? I think whatever he's been doing for the last in a points league for the last 3 months, I don't think that changes too much. There's even a chance the assists come up slightly because De'Aaron Fox is gone. So yeah, points should stay the same. I mean, Levine and Fox are pretty comparable in terms of points. So I think he'll be okay. Does having Monk, Levine, DeMar take away offensive touches for Domas? Yeah, look, maybe a little bit. But as I said, Levine and Fox, it's not like they lost a low usage point guard. They lost De'Aaron Fox, who was, points are probably his strongest category, along with steals. So Levine will come in. He's also points. So maybe it does slightly. But as I've said, I actually think it's Keegan that loses out. You're right, Shining Nate. Yes, Luka having LeBron as a mentor is crazy good for him. And Wicked Prince, what do I make of Matkovic in a 14-team points league? Added him for Smith. Yep, absolutely fine. No issues with that at all. All right, that will do. That was a lot. We got there. Thank you, everybody, for watching and for all the questions. I will be back in about 20 minutes with a pre-game show. There's only 6 games tonight, so it shouldn't be a massive one. We can get that banged out before the games start. Yes, again, thanks. Go and download. Please do all of that stuff. That's what we're looking for here. And I will be back very shortly. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep Trade Deadline Recap Summary Q&A Show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.